growing closer to each other. What does that mean? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and you'll understand somewhat of the basis of it. And that is, whenever you read, and here's Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said, you know, two's better than one. And it's amazing the illustration that he uses. He talks about two are better than one. You can do more work and you'll have more fruit of the labors that you do. If you're having a companion and you're walking together, and if you fall down, you got somebody to pick you up. You know, we don't live on this earth alone, do we? And then the next thing, and this doesn't have a whole lot to do with South Florida a lot, but man, just keeping warm. And you know what it's like to have a wife and how warm it is to have a husband, somebody there in the bed, or a dog in the bed with you, you know. And then all of a sudden the dog dies. You know, what are you going to do about that? Two's better than one. And here's a wise man. He's trying to tell us something. Wonder what he's trying to tell us. We don't live on this earth all by ourselves, do we? And then he says, even if there's an enemy that attacks, there's more chance of you surviving. Two's better than one. Now, visitors, you may not understand that in this church this year, every month we're having an emphasis for the month. And so the overall emphasis is, with God we can. Jesus, or Paul says, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've already had about evangelizing the world in January, and in February we talked about the fact that we'll find a place to serve God. In this month, the month of March, we've been talking about anchoring our hope in Christ. And so we're going to use today's lesson to talk about the theme for next month, and that is, with God we can grow closer to each other. That's important, isn't it? It's important for us to understand that when the Lord set the church up, almost every description He uses to describe the church talks about two's better than one. You and I need to understand that the Lord set the church up just like He wanted to. And so He uses ways of describing the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, He describes the church as a body. And He says every part of the body needs the rest. Now the church is a body. And you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, it says there are many members, and there are some members that are like hands, and some members that are like eyes, and some members that are like feet. And He looks at our own body and then He says, wait a minute. I'm not talking about our own physical body. God put it together, gave it all its different parts and pieces, but He said, I'm talking about the church. And in this church, God has put us together with parts and pieces because we need each other. And the whole point of today's lesson and the emphasis this next month is that we need to be closer to each other. And the whole emphasis of this lesson is to remind us that the Lord has made us to be a body. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, where He talks about in verse 14 that there's the doctrinal purity of the church, and there's all of this new ideas and new philosophies that people come along, and doctrines that were believed 100 years ago and no longer believed, and there's all sorts of new doctrines and ideas that are coming. And He says, I don't want you to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Sometimes the wind blows this way, sometimes it blows that way. That's not the nature of the church. The Lord put the church here, and He says that human cunningness of coming up with different ideas is that's not what it's all about. That we are a part of a body, and we speak the truth in love to each other, and we grow up in every way into Him who's the head of the body. And that is Christ Himself. And then look at this. Verse 16 says, every member of this church, every member of the body, trying to help each other grow up to reach our own spiritual maturity, every member, just like we have joints in our body, every joint in the body supplies what the rest of the body needs. That passage back in Corinthians says, well, the eye doesn't need the hand. You ever get something in your eye? What if you didn't have a hand to deal with that? You need to understand that every part, every member of this church, from the youngest member of this church to the oldest member of the church, we're a body. And we got to function together. because we need each other. And what we need to do is to grow closer to each other. And then the last phrase in Ephesians chapter 4 talks about we build ourselves up in love. That's what it's all about. We're a body, but it's not just a body. He describes the church as laborers together in the vineyard. The Old King James has the word husbandry there. And that's what's involved. We talked about this in February when we talked about the we're laborers together with God, and those brochures that you volunteered and you said, here's where I want to serve, here's where I want to work, I want to labor. But look at the word together. We're not out here soloing. We are working together, and we're fellow laborers with God. And there's all parts of it. It's me, it's you, and it's God. And you put all of that combination together, we need each other. We need to grow closer to each other, and that's the whole import of this lesson. At first, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Some of you are taking notes. I just want to call attention. We're laborers together in His vineyard. You're God's husbandry. You are God's building. But look again. When He described the church, He describes it as a kingdom. And we are fellow citizens. We're citizens in America, but I'm telling you, our citizenship's not primarily on this earth. Philippians chapter 3 says our citizenship is in heaven, and we're fellow citizens. And so every one of us are fellow citizens. There aren't any illegal immigrants into the kingdom of God. I don't know if that's a good way to think about it or not, but whatever comes to my head comes out of my mouth sometimes, and I hope it fits. But anyway, look at the verse our. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our bodies. We and our. You see, our citizenship is in heaven, and we're fellow citizens. Now, we understand citizenship in America and how there ought to be a common care for each other, but that's nothing to talk about the kingdom of God on this earth, and we're fellows in it. We're fellow citizens in that kingdom. And then look finally in this aspect of showing how every aspect of the church talks about the unity and the interdependence that we have. We are the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, there are those organizations that one might be a member of and they have somewhat in common. You remember the gardening club? Yeah, you got plants in common. You know, you're a part of a golf club, a country club. You have lying in common about your score. I'm not sure exactly what you have in common there, but you understand. But listen, in the church, in what we're trying to be in this very building, and that is a family of brothers and sisters in Christ. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he talks about that we are children of God. And as children of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. You know, Christ is our brother. He may be an older brother, but being joint heirs, if you're Christ's brother and I'm Christ's brother, guess what that makes us? That makes us brothers. If you're in the family of, if Christ is your brother and Christ is my brother, then we're in the same family. But you know the unity? You know how much family needs each other? Oh, yes. Well, that's the whole point of this lesson. We need each other, and we need to grow closer to each other. There are some Bible verses that that emphasize the fact that we all need each other. What about Romans chapter 14 and verse 7 that says, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. That's an obvious truth, but it's in there for a reason. You ought to stop and think about what he said. You're not solo out here in your life as a Christian. You're not out here all by yourself. Well, I just do my own thing as a Christian. Cannot do it. Why? No man lives to himself. And no man dies to himself. Fellow citizens, brothers and sisters, we are members of the same body. And we got to get closer and closer to each other. There's a statement that was made, and David, I looked and looked to find the statement that was made and never found it. I got close to it. You probably know right in the library where it is. But there was a letter that was written to an emperor in the first century, obviously one of the Caesars, or to some government officials that was written by somebody. Well, the government officials said, what are these Christians like? And he had a lot of misinformation. First of all, he says, they meet together in secret. Yeah, they've got to, because they're an underground church, as it were. They're being persecuted. They meet together in secret, and they're cannibalistic. Misunderstanding the Lord's Supper and the nature of the Lord's Supper. And he went on and talked about some of the other misrepresentations of the Christians. And after he talked about the Christians in the most derogatory way, and before I tell you what he said next, you need to understand, folks say bad things about you because you're a Christian. You ignore it. Happened way back in the very beginning. It happened to Jesus. Lied about him, did they not? The apostles, they mocked them, did they not? And so here's this letter written to a Roman official that said, these people are just terrible. Then the last statement after saying they're cannibalistic, a secret organization, and it says, but oh, how they love each other. Folks, that's it. You and I need to understand that we do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. And Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples when they see how much I love you. You know the importance of this lesson? Folks walk into this building, they ought to walk out saying, those folks really love each other, don't they? They really, really love each other. Now, visitors, can I tell you, I've been here 35 years, and can I tell you the suspicion I had the first time I ever came down here? This is the huggingest church I've ever seen. I mean, I came down here, I grew up up in Alabama and everything. We hugged a little bit, but I walked here, and everybody's hugging anybody all again and again. And I thought, after about a year, I thought, they really mean it. You just open your eyes, visitors. These folks, we love each other. Because Christ died for us and He's made us one. And there may be some things that folks may not understand about the church. Here's one thing they ought to think about. It's the lovingest church I've ever seen. And that's what it must be. And so the Bible talks about, let's help each other bear our burdens. Galatians chapter 6 says, here's a brother that's overtaken in a fault, and restore such a one. And you and I need to understand that sometimes to bring about the restoration of somebody is really, really difficult. And there are some things in the Bible that some folks didn't wish were not in the Bible to try to get that person to come back and serve the Lord. Well, that's part of helping each other go to heaven. That's what it's all about. Help each other bear each other's burden. And so the verse says, you are spiritual, go about to restore such a one. And so he says, bear one another's burden, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need each other? Oh, yeah. Let me show you this one. Evil companions do what? Do you know 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. You want to flip that over? What happens if you have godly friends? What happens if you have godly friends? You hang around the world and there's that immoral talk that's in the workplace and that ungodliness and lack of respect for that which is sacred. You know the struggle you have. Something happens and all that profanity that's been in the mind of everybody that's there, some beautiful girl walks by and then all of the verbalization of immorality and desire of in a sexually perverted kind of way. You understand what it's like? You see people lying to each other? Evil companions. You know the flip side of that? Flip side of that's the church. It's the family. It's the kingdom. We need each other. Because if evil companions corrupt good morals, what happens when you have godly companions? You young people who are in that trying time of your life, you're all week at school, sometimes in school, depending where you go to school and everything there is negative. Sort of foreign to what you hear when you walk into this building and perhaps when you talk to your parents. You need to understand, young people, how much you need each other and how much you do not only need each other. We all need each other. Good companions increase great morality. You and I need to understand that the God of all comfort has made us comforters of others. And while I've got the verse up there, I don't have this particular verse in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that the God of comforts has comforted us in order that we might comfort each other. We need each other. There are those special friends that are found in the Bible, and we could go on and on talking about friendship. What if I talk about Jonathan and David? What if I talk about how much Jonathan needed David, how much David needed Jonathan? What about Paul and Timothy? Here's the Apostle Paul, and here's a young man, likely a teenager. You think Paul, the Apostle, doesn't need Timothy? Oh yeah, we're part of a body. It's obvious that Timothy can certainly use the influence of Paul in his life, but Paul needs Timothy in his life. We need each other. And then one of the great characters in the Bible is a fellow by the name of Barnabas. It wasn't his first name. His mom and daddy named him Joseph. But when he became a Christian, he got a brand new name. The apostle said, "We're going to rename you because of what you do. You're going to be called in the Hebrew Barnabas, the son of encouragement." Ever get discouraged? What we need is, because we need each other, every one of us needs to be not a critic of each other, but a Barnabas to each other and to encourage each other. And then you think about friendship. I think of four teenage boys taken to Nebuchadnezzar as prisoners over into Babylon, taken over into Iraq, Jewish boys over in Jerusalem. The people from Babylon come and carry these four boys. You think these teenage boys didn't need each other? And if teenage boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, need each other, when they're over there and they're trying to get them to do wrong, they say, "We can't eat this food." But the king says, "You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it." And those four boys said, "We are not going to do that." Why? Because they needed each other. If two stronger than one, what about four? What about those four young men standing together? Folks, we need each other. What we need to do is to try to grow closer. Now, how are we going to do that? Lesson's not worth anything unless it has some application. Well, we first of all need to recognize the Lord made the church so we can take care of each other. He puts the solitary into a family. He sets them into families. Got any solitary people in this church? We got any unmarried young adults? Yeah, they need a family. We have any people who are part of this church, they don't have any family encouragement at home, you know, perhaps they're a young person, don't have parents that would really encourage them, or perhaps they're older and you know, their husband or their wife, they're not faithful, they're lonely. And what about the 40 plus widows we have in this church? Widows, are you lonely? Yeah. That's why we need each other. And the Bible said God put a family on this earth. We need each other. Need to live closer to each other. If the Bible says draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you, then what about if we draw nigh to godly people? You understand that? If godly people are like God, and so here's the God of heaven says, "You draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you." Shouldn't those of us who are Christians, those of us who are older Christians, more mature Christians, shouldn't we be of the same nature that if folks want to be closer to us, we'll be closer to them? Draw nigh, and He will draw nigh to you. And if this family, this kingdom, this body is what God wants it to be, then there must be an openness within us, within the heart of every one of us, that if folks are looking for to fulfill and find a place that'll fulfill the emptiness in their life, they found it. Because God draws nigh to those who draw nigh to Him, and so should His children. You and I need to understand the application of this lesson, but I want to tell you something. It takes effort to live closer to other people. It takes a decision. You know, you and I need to understand, go ahead and put the next slide up there. It takes time. Tie all three of these together. It takes effort and it takes a decision. Why are you not as close to other folks in this church as you wish you as sometimes you wish you were? Well, it may be that you tried, and maybe those of us who are older, we're not godly enough to open up and let you draw nigh to us. And God help us if we're older Christians to be open. But if you don't have any friends in the church, don't have any, your closest friends are not folks in the church. You got to make a decision. That's what I want. I've looked at this, I've thought about this, somebody says, and I'm going to make the effort, whatever effort it takes. I'm going to make that effort to be closer to people in the church. Because you see, we need each other. But you've got to make that decision to pay the price. It's not just going to happen. You know, you're not going to learn to be a soldier just because, well, I think I'll decide to be a soldier today. You're not going to learn to be a boxer because all of a sudden you decide, I think, well, I'm ready to get. You're not going to learn to be an athlete, a runner, I think I'll run a 4-minute mile today. And all three of those figures are figures used in the Bible to describe the church. You're going to have to spend some time doing it. And if you're that person who comes in late, who comes sporadically, you know, maybe once or twice a month, and arrives, and as soon as the amen is said, you rush home, guess what? You don't have time to get close to folks here. One of the things I love about this church is, and I feel so sorry for those who lock this building, but if you've hung around long, you know, sometimes it's 30, 45 minutes after services are over before folks in this church all leave. Why? Because we need each other. And I'd encourage you to hang around. Don't just rush out. You know, if you're trying to get down to Burger King before the Baptists or to a McDonald's before the Methodists, you understand what I mean? There's something more important than that. Being first in line is probably not worth all that much. You understand? You and I need to understand. Did I get all the denominations, all the eating places? I shouldn't have started down that road, I guess. But seriously, it's going to take time. If I were you, I'd get here early. I don't know if you've seen the lineup who sits on those pews out there in the foyer. I don't know if they really like each other. They're just trying to rest up so then walk the rest of the way in the building. But those guys and those ladies that sit out there, they love each other. Isn't that amazing? It's going to take time. You can't just walk in and rush out and have friends in the church. It takes time to do that. Let me just mention in connection with that, and that is the intergenerational aspect of our work that's happening in this church. We're trying to, with the emphasis that Josh is trying to bring into this church, we're trying to be intergenerational. We're not going to have the young people sticking out over here in the witness or over here in a separate group and all the rest, though you will have your own group and do your own thing some of the time. And sometimes the widows can go out and eat together or go up to the Campbell's house and have a day up there. But you see, everybody in this church needs everybody. I'll say something to you guys in junior high and senior high, and even to those who are not yet in junior high. Us old folks in the church, we need you. But it takes time. And I would encourage every young person in this church to go out of your way to find some of these old folks and become their friends. You know how good grandparents are? You know, you know how good it is to have grandparents? Young people, you're missing a golden opportunity. There are probably 50 grandparents you could have here in this church right now. And some of them may be young adults. They may be older brothers and sisters. And I'm not for sure who it happened to, but one of our young adults heard, it was about a year ago, that one of the young people had done real good on the report card and walked over and handed them $5. If you got all A's, go see Harrison Carter, okay? I mean, that's just we need each other. You understand what we're trying to say? And what we're trying to do in this family group meetings, Tuesday night, family group number 4, if you haven't been to one of those, and you haven't yet because it's the first time family group 4 will ever meet, I'm telling you, you are missing something to be able to be in a class. And here are those who are in junior high and some perhaps even younger than junior high in a Bible study in somebody's home talking about the Bible with those, talking about spiritual things. We need each other. And you and I need to understand that the whole design of the Lord's church was to take people from you know, Jews and Gentiles and barbarians and Scythians and Greeks and all the people and bring them together in that one body where there's one family because they need each other. And I'm thankful that in this one congregation, we have members from 20 different nations. That's an amazing intermixing of people. And that's what God had in mind. A body of Christ where folks need each other. We need to get to know each other better. And that's going to happen because you're going to have to learn how to talk. If you don't have any friends, it may be because you don't talk much. If you don't have any friends, it may be because you talk too much, too. Might as well go to the other extreme out over there. But we need to be in each other's life, do we not? We need to know each other. But you're going to take it takes time to do that. We need to know each other's interests. Need to know about where the person that's sitting around, you know where they work? You know where they come from? You know where all they've lived in their life? Why don't you know that? This is your family, brothers and sisters, and we need to spend time with each other. And all of that, whenever we get back, we will be able to greet each other again. Pick up the bulletin. It says so-and-so is on vacation and everything. You know why that's in the bulletin? So that next week when you come back, somebody who doesn't even like you can come up and say, "How was your trip over to such and such a place?" I hope you understand that's a part of this intergenerational type of thing we're trying to do. To be in each other's life. And so what the emphasis all of next month, and this is just the beginning of the introduction of it, is that you and I need to grow closer to each other. We need to have expressions of interest in that other person and interest in their concern. And let me tell you one thing we're going to do, and then I'll stop with this. About 6 years ago, we had these to pass out. They're called appreciograms. And there's a place for you to write your name and the person that you appreciate. And then just on the back side of the card, an appreciogram for you, and just write words that says, "I appreciate you." And somebody said, "Well, I don't know everybody in this church. Do you know some folks you appreciate?" You understand? And wouldn't it be a great thing if we could have a list of every member of this church and with that church directory in the next month? I could write a card to at least every family in this church. In the next month, I could look through here and find the names of people that I don't know and to write a card to them and say, "I appreciate you." And there are those that will obviously appreciate it, and they'll be noticed. But why would you not do that? I would like to encourage families, parents and those who have children. Why don't you as a family set aside one night every week and just sit down for an hour and write cards of thanks, cards of appreciation. You know what that does? If I say I appreciate you, it makes me closer to you and brings you closer to me. It was amazing what happened when we did this before. And by the way, there were those in this church who wrote cards to every member of this church so nobody'd be overlooked. We need some folks that'll do that this time to make sure that everybody, what am I going to do with it? Well, tonight there'll be a mailbox out in the foyer. You've seen our mailbox we've used for other things. Tonight, there'll be the mailbox that's out there, and we'll start putting these postcards in there. It doesn't cost you, other than time, doesn't cost you anything to write an appreciogram to say, "I appreciate what you do," and mention, if you can, some specific thing about them. And that will encourage them. It is a part of us growing closer to each other. And it'll work. This will be the third time I think we've done it. It's been 6 years since we've done it. We want to do it again because we know what happens to this and how wonderful it is that we can write cards that says, "I appreciate you." So as you leave today, take a stack of these. Take a big handful of them. Take one of the sheets and look at the names that are here. You've got your pictorial directory at home. Look, and so there'll be faces likely with some of these people. And let's see how well we can, in the month of April, express our appreciation to each other, and that'll draw us closer. A lot of great things happening in this church. Here's the whole point we're trying to make. Two's better than one. If two's better than one, and we talk about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and said four's better than one, what about 400 being better than one? You're talking about the ability to help us stand up when we fall. You talk about being strengthened in helping each other. God help us to do His will. Now it may be as we close this part of our service that you want to become a part of the body of Jesus. We don't have anything new. We just go back and find out what's in the Bible. You know what they did in Bible times to become a part of the family of God? They believed in Jesus. Didn't stop there. Even the devil believes. It's rather funny. They didn't even say a sinner's prayer that's not even found in the Bible. They were told up front, you want to give your life to Jesus, you change, you repent, you change your life, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you'll have your sins forgiven. And that hadn't changed at all. When people in Bible time said, what must I do? Here's the answer that was given. And that's why we give that same answer. And you, that may be where you are. As a believer in Jesus, you want to be a part of His family. You need to make up your mind and to be baptized. Now, before you can be baptized, we need to know that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. And so in Acts chapter 8, the man said, here's some water. Can I be baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you can. The man said, I believe. And so Romans chapter 10 says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Then you become a part of the family. And the Lord says, don't you give up. You live and serve God faithfully until you die. If you're a wayward Christian and you need to come back, how can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?